All right, we welcome you to the Wayne County Bible Center on January 7th, 2024. I'm going to have to get used to that, 2024. I've got it written down three places so that I will not mess up. We are embarking on a new year and uncertain future, but God knows the way. That's the title. We're going to be in Joshua 3, and we'll start out in verse 3 through 5, and I'll add a little bit to that. But the whole gist of the day's message, and this is part one, is that God has a plan for your life in all areas of your life, not only in the new year, but all the time. But since it is the new year, we are going to study or drop anchor in Joshua chapter 3 because God knows the way, and in 2024, you have never been this way before. So let's dive in. Joshua 3, verse 3. And they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priest of the Levites bearing it, carrying it, then you shall remove from your place and go after. And there shall be a space between you and it. Now the ark of the Lord represented the presence of God. The presence of God. And there's going to be a space between you and the presence of God as the priests carry the ark, about 2,000 cubits by measure. That's 1,000 yards. That's 10 football fields. So God is to be clearly out in front so that you can clearly see the way that God is leading. Come not near unto it, so that you will know the way by which you must go, for you have never passed this way before. And Joshua then said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, make yourselves ready to move when God moves. For tomorrow, the future, this coming year, if you're following God, you'll see the Lord do wonders for your life. Let's go to Him in prayer. Father, as we come today and as I come today, I ask for forgiveness of daily sin. I pray, Lord Jesus, to be cleansed of the filth, the laziness at times, whatever it may be. And as I confess this stuff to you, Lord, I know that you're righteous and faithful and just to forgive me and to cleanse me by your blood. Pray to be anointed by your Spirit as a servant in humility to wash the feet of these people with the Word of God. Because, Lord, I know that your word and your promises are to be actualities lived out in the lives of all of us. They're just not words on a page. They're just not doctrine. It's the reality of the revelation of God, how you love us and want to deal with us and want to help us. And so, Father, let us not settle for less than the conscious experience of you in our lives, the voice of God, knowing the voice of God, in your guidance and your leadership in all areas of our life. We are not alone. We do not walk alone. We thank you, Holy Spirit, take over. Let me have a spirit of humility and conciseness in this word today, in Jesus' name, amen. In verse 4 it says, keep 1,000 yards between you, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way before. And you don't know the correct path to take. You don't know the direction to go. We are entering into this year. We're going to have to make decisions. We're going to deal with situations. Things are going to come up. And one of the biggest problems we have in life, spiritually, or in a lot of things, is an overconfidence in self. A lot of times we think we know the way and we think we know what's best and we have everything planned out the way we think it ought to go. So go with me to the book of James quickly and keep your hand where it is. And I want you to pray this prayer continually through this year. And because it's very important. I started doing this a handful of years ago. And it makes me check myself. It makes me slow myself down. I didn't do well in years, especially at times with Daniel and trying to plan things out for him and step in and take over things. And when he's coming out of high school, coming out of college, all those things. In James chapter 4, it says this, verse 13. Go to now, you that say today or tomorrow, we're going to go into such a city. We're going to live there a year. We're going to buy stuff, sell stuff, and make a profit. Get gain. Whereas you know not what is going to be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. The last time I ate dinner with my cousin, whom I'm going to do this funeral for, she told Patty and I this was her last year. She's going to retire. And I checked the district calendar when Patty was with Lainey working out at the gym, and she got a direct message, and it sent her in shock. Someone was trying to get in touch with me that didn't have my number, but they knew that Patty was on Facebook, that Jeannie had died. And January 2nd, she had a teacher's work day. January 3rd, our kids in Charleston went back to school. And I know when she got out and they'd finished the Christmas plays and all that, she was counting on coming back on January 2nd to that teacher's work day. And you know, we take so much for granted, but look what he says. Your life's a vapor. It appears for a little time, then it vanishes away. So you ought to say, if this is God's will, I'm going to live and I'm going to do this, or I'm going to do that. Go back to Joshua. If it's God's will, God, I want your will. Now, it's okay to express unto God what we want, what our plan might be. Lord, this is what my plan is. This is what I'm thinking. But Lord, I need to put a caveat on this. Lord, I only want this if this is your will. And if you need to close this door, close this door. And then have the spiritual discernment and sensitivity that when God closes the door, don't keep trying to knock it open in the flesh. Because a lot of times the Lord is clearly trying to steer us in a direction, but we are determined that this is best. You don't know what's best, but God knows what's best. And He desires to reveal that to you. So what they're talking about in Joshua chapter 3, he says the Ark of the Covenant is going to be out in front of you. And then in verse 11 it says this, behold, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth passes over before you into the Jordan, and then across the Jordan. So the Ark of the Covenant represented the real, actual presence of the Lord going before the Israelites and showing them the way that they should go. The correct way, God's way. Now, I want you to understand, for you in 2024, God's got a correct way and a direct way for you that's going to lead you to blessing, to provision, to victory in certain areas of your life, because this is the foresight of God. Keep your hand in Joshua and go to Deuteronomy. I can't see what God sees. And in Deuteronomy chapter 11, and I just noticed over chapter 11, it says God's great acts in my Bible. Ken, those are the songs we just sung. God's great acts. And in Deuteronomy chapter 11, God is speaking to the nation of Israel about bringing them into the promised land. Now, I want you to understand something. The promised land in the Old Testament is it was actual for the Israelites. But for us as New Testament Christians, it represents being in the center of God's will. Christians can live in one of two places. They can live in the wilderness outside of God's will, and they can live in the promised land in the center of God's will. So this, anytime you read about the promised land, it is a metaphor for a New Testament Christian of being in the center of God's will. And so he says this in Deuteronomy 11, verse 11. The land where you go to possess is a land of hills and valleys that drink water of the rain and of heaven, a land which the Lord thy God cares for. The eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it, from the beginning of the year even unto the end of the year. God sees the whole year planned out. God's got the whole year planned out. From the beginning of the year unto the end of the year. And it shall come to pass, if you will obey, diligently submit yourself to my guidance, submit yourself to my leadership, which I command you this day, to love your God and to serve Him with all your heart and all your soul. So that's New Testament as they come. When you get born again, you enter into a love relationship with Jesus Christ, a personal, intimate love relationship. We don't always hear that. You know, we didn't always hear that. A lot of folks in the South have always heard, keep the commandments, obey the commandments, do good. And you're sitting there in the pew saying, there ain't no way I can do this. And then a lot of our folks that listen to us in the North on our website, they're out of a background where they never really heard anything but sacraments and things repeated and things done in a ritualistic way. So I'm telling you the truth. This is the gospel. We are in a love relationship with God by which He loves us with all His heart, all His soul, all His mind. And it's easy to love God because He first loved us. And so you want to develop that and enjoy that personal, intimate relationship. And He says, that I will give you the rain, verse 14, your land in due season, the first rain and the latter rain, that thou may gather in thy corn, thy wine, thine oil, and I will send grass in thy fields for thy cattle, that thou may eat and be full. I want you to understand that. When you're living within the will of God, you're going to be blessed. You're going to be contented, Cameron. You're going to have contentment. You're going to have provision. You're going to have blessing. You know, I said a moment ago, and you need to analyze yourself right now. Are you a Christian living in the wilderness? Are you in the center of God's will? Are you a Christian that is dried up? Are you experiencing the provision and the everlasting flowing water of God satiating you and filling you and giving you contentment and renewal? Are we drying up on the vine? So this is very serious stuff, and there should be in every Christian's life just a consciousness and a fullness of the awareness of whether you're not you're in the will of God or whether you're out of the will of God. That's why God sends conviction upon our lives. So in life, just like here, God desires to lead you and to guide you. I want you to understand that, and I'm going to slow down right now. God wants to lead you. God wants to reveal to you the way you need to go. 2,000 cubits out in front. God doesn't want you hanging out on a limb. In 40 years in the ministry, I've spoken with a lot of Christians that'll look you dead in the eye and they'll say, I just don't know what God wants me to do. Well, I want you to understand something. Sometimes that's part of our Christian life, but you don't give up until He reveals to you definitive direction and gives you peace about whether to go left or right or east or west or forward or to be still. God desires to show you the way, His way, His plan. Now, secondly, based on that, God does not leave us to ourselves. You know, we quote Hebrews 13:5 all the time. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. But we live as though God's not with us. God is with you. He will not leave you to yourself. God desires to leave you. The presence of God through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit desires to be an active reality in our life, communing with our spirit, directing us and guiding us. And we are to have a conscious personal awareness of God's leadership and His guidance. Go with me to John chapter 10. And let me rifle shot this thing for you in John chapter 10. And this is what I'm talking about, the personal conscious awareness of the leadership of God. In John chapter 10, we're introduced to the Good Shepherd. And all of you in this building are familiar with this. And many that listen are familiar, but some who are listening may not be. But notice what it says, and this is as direct and clear. John chapter 10 verse 2 says, "He that entereth by the door is the shepherd of the sheep." He's talking about himself, the good shepherd. "To him the porter opens," which I believe represents the Holy Spirit. "And the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep out by their personal name, and he leads them." Verse 4b, "And he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice." I want you to understand something. God wants you to have a conscious awareness of his voice. You need to develop it. You need to cultivate it through your communion with the Lord. Because let me tell you, the two voices that are going to stand in conflict, and you really need to know the difference between these two voices that speak to your inner man. One of the voices is you, your voice. And the other voice is the voice of God. And as you develop this in your personal relationship, there are times in my life a situation will come up and I'll be getting ready to move forward. And then I actually will quote this out to myself. I'll say, "Is this me or is this God? You know, is this me telling me this or is this me allowing God to tell me this?" And you got to stop yourself and you got to make sure you are hearing the voice of God and the leadership of God and the guidance of God. And this only comes as a result of stillness, placing certain things before the Lord. You know, He'll direct your paths and all your ways. That's next week. Every area of your life, whether it be relationships, job changes, college opportunities, whether it be decisions, major decisions in your life, there needs to be a time of stillness and communing with God. Just like I'm 63 years old. And I'm seeking God about decisions in my life, direction in my life, things I believe God's wanting me to add into my life as far as ministry and different things. Because I think you get renewed and rejuvenated. You know, people say, "I just want to slow down." You want to do what God wants you to do. You want to move forward in the direction God wants you to move in. Look at what he says. He says, the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name. And he leads them out. And when he puts them forth, his own sheep, verse 4, he goes before them. God wants to lead you and guide you. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Look at verse 9. "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." And then he goes in and out and he finds pasture. That's provision. Pasture represents the provision and the blessing and the plan of God after you're saved. See, first you get saved in this verse. And then you, by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And he goes in and out. Goes in and out of what? He's talking about a sheepfold. In the middle of the field, they had stone fence, and they'd put the sheep in at night. So the wolves and the robbers and all those things would not get them, and they'd be protected. And the shepherd would spend the night. At the end of the day, he'd lead them in. In the morning, he'd lead them back out. And he'd lead them to where the green pastures were and the still water, Psalm 23. It's a metaphor for our life. I praise God we got to sing a song today. I am so blessed. I hope everybody feels that way, because in the middle of the will of God, that's what you are. Now, when you're outside of God's will, and you got to believe this with all your heart, God has a specific plan for your life, and it's His desire to reveal this plan to you. To reveal it to you in detail in every area of your life. Melissa, I'm sure folks think I'm crazy. There are a great majority of church attenders who are in all these cookie-cutter religions where membership and tithing and attendance is the all-in-all. Programs, pragmatism, it's the all-in-all. Not a word, I'm quoting Tozer, not a word in this Bible says anything about any of that. It is all about the woman at the well, Zacchaeus in the tree, Nicodemus by the campfire, Peter and John mending their nets, Andrew sitting under the fig tree. The bottom line is it's one-on-one, one-on-one, one-on-one. Samaritan woman at the well. It is a personal, personal, personal relationship by which these people met Jesus face to face. And I want you to understand, by the conviction and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, it happens to us. My cousin walked in a world of religious professionals and tried to share. And she called me complaining and griping. But her terminology was just like mine. You know, these people need Jesus in their heart. Daniel heard that so much. I've told you this story about having Jesus in your heart, that when Patty cut his rear end one time, he came running upstairs in Brevard. He must have been 4 or 5 years old. And I said, Daniel, goodness, he's crying. I said, what's wrong? He said, Mama ain't got Jesus in her heart. he knew that terminology. He'd heard that terminology. And then as he grew older, he'd do something or say something, and Patty's, the simplicity of Patty's words to him were, Jesus doesn't like that, Daniel. Jesus doesn't like that. We were eating dinner in Nashville about 3 years ago, and Daniel was telling some folks, he goes, yeah. He said, I'll tell you one thing. By the time I was growing up, I certainly knew what Jesus didn't like. And you know, but that's the simplicity of it, and that's the truth. You know, that's the book of Hebrews. We want to please the Lord. And so what he is saying there in John chapter 10, and if you turn over to verse 27, I mean, it's as simple as it can be. Look at what it says. My sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. I mean, Cameron, I can take that one verse, go on a desert island, and teach people that don't know a thing, and they'll know all they need to know. They'll know all they need to know. Paul said, I'm a Pharisee of the Pharisees. I'm a Benjaminite of the Benjaminites. But I count everything but loss, but the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And then in that one phrase, he says, that I may know him. Matthew chapter 7, Jesus says, depart from me, you never knew me. And those folks said, we went to church in your name. We sung in the choir in your name. We healed people in your name. We taught in the synagogues in your name. And he says, depart from me, I never knew you. And so here we go in John chapter 10. Look what it says. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. My little cousin, and he's 3 years younger than me. He's handling his sister's funeral. He's the only one left, and he's the one that didn't have my number. They tried to contact me. I've seen him twice, maybe in 40 years. I saw him at my mama's funeral. I saw him at my daddy's funeral. And so another cousin somehow got me his number, and I called it, and he answered it. And I said, "Paul?" And he started crying. He said, "Man, Leo, I need you so bad to talk to you." He knew my voice. All I said was, "Paul," and he knew my voice. I want to tell you something. That's the way it is with Jesus. We know him, and we know his voice. Now, if we don't have daily time, if we don't have a consistent communion time, but the Lord desires, I lead them, they follow me to pasture, provision, blessing, nourishment, renewal. You know, we got plans. You know, Melissa, everybody's got plans. You live this way. You go to high school, you go to college, you get married, you have babies, you do this, you do that, you do that. You know, look at your children spread out all over the world and beautiful jobs, incredible situations, and they just march to the beat of the Holy Spirit's drummer. Daniel will tell you right now, you know, everything needs to be on the table before the Lord in this world today. If you think you're going to follow some cookie cutter existence that began in the 50s and the 60s, and here we're still holding on to a lot of this stuff, you don't want man's plan for your life. You don't want the culture's plan for your life. You want God's plan for your life. John Robinson stood here and said, "Nobody goes on the mission field anymore. Nobody goes on the mission field anymore." You know, Tracy and Pete Shinnick, I married them. Pete was line coach at Clemson, and now he's head football coach at the school in Baltimore. Oh, goodness. But anyway, because that's where his dad played in the NFL, they got four children on the mission field. Why is that? Because they live their Christianity. When they were at Clemson and FCA, man, I would get so rejuvenated by these kids because, I mean, I was in a Baptist church. I'm not going to say it was a dead Baptist church. It was a regular Baptist church. But man, you'd go down to Clemson on Thursday night at 9 o'clock and the Holy Spirit just exploded. Every time you were down there teaching the Word of God. And so God's got all these beautiful plans and we put ourselves in these boxes where we can't be blessed in the way we need to be. So I want you to understand, you should possess a conscious personal awareness of the voice of God to recognize and know when God is speaking to you and when you are speaking to yourself. And I want you to understand something before I move on. I'll be closing out in a moment. Is this. God is always wanting to speak to you. Consistently and constantly. He is always. There's not one situation going to come up today, but the Lord's right there with you and He'll speak to you about it. So we want to grow in this distinction. I want you to turn over to another passage of Scripture. Go to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. And I praise God. He will be my guide. What does the psalmist say? He'll be your guide even unto death. You know, I might be up here at 73 years of age and or 83 or 93. And the bottom line is God is still desiring to lead us and guide us. He wants to lead you and He wants to guide you. Now, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. Peter says this, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty at the transfiguration. For He received, Jesus, from God the Father, honor and glory, and when there came such a voice to Him from the excellent glory, from heaven, 'This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.' And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with Him in the Holy Mount. And this voice which came from heaven, we heard emphatically and definitively when he spoke, "This is my beloved son." I want you to understand something. I don't hear a voice from heaven, Cameron, definitively and emphatically, but I'll tell you this. I hear a voice in my heart, definitively and emphatically from God. I want you to understand that, and every one of us need to be able to do that. I can remember I had an experience with Jesus in the spring of, it began in the fall of 1983. It culminated in the spring of 1994 in one night in Walterboro, South Carolina, where I was overcome with peace, and the voice of God told me to go resign my secular job. I didn't have a church, but I drove from Walterboro to Columbia, South Carolina that day to Orangeburg, and I had more peace than I think I've ever had. You know, I can't remember the peace I felt at my salvation. I know I felt peace, but I knew at that moment, without a church, and that was in March, and I was in pulpits from March to August, and I started my first church in August, but I didn't have a church at that moment. And for 40 years, I've had a church. I mean, there are major things going on in your life where God speaks definitively unto you, and you need to seek him. Relationships, marriage. You know, you just don't get married because your friends got married. You just don't get married because, you know, this is the person, blah, blah, blah. God needs to speak to you definitively. My wedding was a spiritual experience between Patty and I and Jesus. I mean, I could sense his presence. You know, when I took that first church, when I went to Brevard, when I came here, there were definitive messages from God. Well, Brother Lil, you're a preacher. You got no. I want you to understand it's available to all of us. Go to Romans chapter 8. If you've been saved, you've experienced this. If you're not, you haven't. You need God's guidance, and God wants to guide you. You can't beat that deal. You know? I mean, you confess that. God, we need you. You know, Patrick, Brenda, y'all need God's wisdom and guidance in this situation. God wants to give it to you. You grab hold of that. I had one lady in Charleston tell me, she said, "Yeah, I want your church praying." Well, it was Jeannie. It was Jeannie. I have to you when she's the one that had us praying for her brother, Johnny, that we thought was going to die for 5 months. And I've got book after book after book. And she told me, she said, "I know you've got prayer warriors that grab hold of God in that church." And that's the only way to explain it. And that's what you have to do for yourself. You have to grab hold of God. The voice of God speaking to us. Romans chapter 8 verse 14. "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." Here we go again. The Holy Spirit's function after your salvation is to lead you. He'll guide you unto all truth. "For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." Who is we? "The Spirit himself bears witness with my spirit." All right, that's the we. The Holy Spirit and your spirit. That spiritual entity within your soul that God put there so that he could unite with you. "The Spirit himself bears witness with my spirit that I am a child of God." The moment you are saved, the voice of God through the indwelling person of the Holy Spirit speaks this testimony to you that you are now a child of God. And you know it definitively. And if you don't know it definitively, you've not been saved. And if you can't walk next door with me to my office and sit down, and I say unto you, "Joe, tell me about your salvation experience." If you can't tell me a time or a season in your life where you came to Jesus Christ with a faith commitment of giving your life over to Christ, and you felt that peace and the Holy Spirit come into you to dwell with you forever, Jesus says in John 14 through 17, then my friend, you're not saved. And I'm not going to sit here and candy coat it for you because I love you too much and I know God loves you and wants you to know the truth. Every child of God must be able to go back to what Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again, you must be born from above. And the one line, Satan has so many subtle lines of trickery and debauchery. The one line is people say, oh yeah, I joined the church when I was 12. No, that ain't what I ask you. Oh yeah, I was baptized when I was 7. No, that's not what I ask you. Well, I was christened as a baby. No, that's not what I ask you. A.W. Tozer again, none of that's in the Word of God. All right, none of those rites and rituals. Now, baptism following salvation is. But what I want you to understand, you have got to have a real experience with Christ, and then you enjoy a real relationship with Christ. I know Christ like I know Cameron McDonald. And so that's what he said. You know, this word of testimony. The Spirit himself bears witness. You know, you could have wrote, speaks this testimony. Same phrase, same meaning. He speaks a testimony to your heart. Hey, you're now saved. Christ saw saving, committed faith in your heart and sent unto you the Holy Spirit. Let me show you another one. Go to Galatians 4 and I'll close out. Galatians 4. So if you're saved, you've had this experience. Brother Lil says you need to hear the voice of God. Well, if you got saved, you heard the voice of God. According to the Scriptures. You heard God speaking to you, urging you, giving you peace to know. Galatians 4:6, it says this. And because you are sons, when you become a child of God, and I'm going to go back to it. The secular world will tell you everybody's a child of God. Incorrect. Ephesians 2 says everybody's a child of disobedience and they follow Satan, the prince of the air. Ephesians 2 says once you get saved, you get quickened. You get made alive and you become a child of God. Now, I'll tell you a truth. God loves everybody and God wants everybody to be saved. Everybody's been created in His image, even though they have fallen nature, so that they can receive and unite with Christ in a personal relationship. But you don't become a child until you are saved. Galatians 4:6, and because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your heart. And what does the Spirit of His Son say? What does the voice of God say? Look at what it says. It says the voice of God says, cries out aloud, in your heart, in your mind, Abba, Father. I'm now a child of God. I'm no more a servant if I'm in a works-based religion, but now I'm a child. I am a son and an heir of God through Jesus Christ. First personal, what do we call those things? You know, Facebook or whatever, personal messages. First personal message you receive from God is this one. You are now a child of God. Or it might be on the outside, you need to be saved. You need to, you've never done this. You need to give your heart over to Christ. You have the ability and the responsibility of cultivating your relationship to the point where you know when God's speaking to you. And I want you to understand, God won't speak to you all the time. Y'all know my thing. You know about the stars at night and the sunrises in the morning. I was sitting out last week and it was cold and I was bundled up. You know, folks say to me all the time, you go out there and that. Cameron, I duck hunted. You know, if you've duck hunted, you know how to layer. And spray hitting you in the face, going across sounds, 20 degrees and the duck hunt. But so I layer up, and that sun will come up, and I was telling Benford the other night, I use two phrases. Number one, I'll say, this is my sanctuary. I mean, I feel it. And then the birds will start singing, and that's my choir. Yeah, you know, I got two big old does. I can't even run them off now. They just stand there, you know. And now the bucks, they're a little more leery, but they don't run off much either. And then I'll say this, I open my prayer this way, and it can change, and it's not always been this way, but I sit on those front brick steps, and I'm drinking that coffee, and I'll say, Lord, you are so beautiful in this place. You're just so beautiful in this place. And I know He hears me. And I know He's communing with me, and He's giving, and He's speaking to me through all this beauty. And He's saying to me, enjoy my peace. I'm giving you peace before you start the day. And so, you know, God speaks to us personal messages. And He desires to speak to us and guide us. So I want to close with this question. What is the Holy Spirit telling you to do today? What is God speaking to you today about your life? I don't mean so much specifically today, but in this season, is God speaking to you about things? I don't know if He's being. Well, let me tell you something. If you're communing with Him, He's speaking to you. He's pricking you, He's pressing you, He's urging you, He's touching you in your inward man. God is trying to give you some answers. God is trying to guide you and lead you. And we have to still ourselves before. It might be in a recliner, it might be on your steps, it might be by a tree. But this doesn't happen here. I mean, God can speak to you through a message, no doubt about it. But what I'm talking about, this in-depth personal stuff, this is one-on-one. I'm not going to apologize for it. I'm not going to back down from it. The building on Sunday morning is not the all-in-all. You and Jesus. Jesus and you. That's the all-in-all. The mystery, Christ in you. The hope of glory. That's the all in all. I will come to you. I will be in you. We will make our dwelling in you. We will guide you to all truth. We will convict you of sin and righteousness and judgment. That's the all in all. What we do in here should edify us, exhort us, motivate us. And we can come together and do great things in the name of the Lord that He does and maybe help some folks. But it's that one-on-one personal worship, communion, and interaction with Jesus. So I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes. And I'm going to ask you to thank God that He is out in front of you in 2024. And just thank Him, Lord, I want to thank You that You have not left me to myself. And there's nothing I or my family is facing or is going to face that You don't have a desire to provide for us the answer. So I'm saying right now, Lord, show us the way and You fill in the blank. Lord, wherever You lead, we'll go. Or I'll go. Show us the way and You fill in the blank. Would You start beginning? If there's an error in your life, you've not been praying this prayer, ask the Spirit to lead you there and incorporate that right now. You've not been this way before, but God knows the way.